Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When marriages break up, many have prenuptial agreements to divvy up the loot. Few take seriously the covenants they enter into. Today, back to basics and why marriage, in God's eyes, is a lifetime deal, come what may. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer continues his four-part series on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. He comes now with message number two, Those Vows Mean Something.
Just look over my shoulder for a moment and let me read you this letter. We've been married for 20 years with small children. In the past few years, we fell into debt. I spent a great deal of time away from home making money. Now that we are doing better, my wife wants out of the marriage because she feels that I neglected her emotionally, which I have, because I was so focused on work. What troubles me is that she wants to put space between us. She wants to get out of the home to, quote, find herself. I'm afraid what this might mean because she's on the internet a lot of her time, corresponding with a man she dated before we were married. She's helping him with his issues. I'm afraid that the old relationship might be revived. She doesn't want to go for marriage counseling, and she's quite defensive about this in her decision to leave. Change some of the details, and it's a story that could be told a thousand times. A man leaves a marriage because he finds someone else because he is looking for a connection. And he's in a marriage that he doesn't enjoy. And wives, apparently, mothers, if you please, are leaving their marriages just as much as the men. And the intention of the message is to discuss the issue of marriage, but in such a way that, believe me, it will apply to those of you who are single for sure. But it will most assuredly will apply to all of us who are married or who are thinking about being married. I'd like to begin today by giving you five myths that I think we believe. These are myths that I've come up with. I'm sure that they exist elsewhere, but this is how I see it. Five myths that we believe that really is devastating our homes and our marriages as people walk out of relationships. First of all, my happiness is number one. My happiness is number one. I'm miserable in this desert, a man told me, and now I've found an oasis. I've found another woman with whom I have this connection, and you are telling me to go back into the desert. My happiness is more important than faithfulness. By the way, let me simply say this, that according to God, faithfulness is more important than happiness. And if you happen to be happy while you're being faithful, so much the better. But can you imagine Jesus saying to himself, well, I'm interested in my happiness. The Bible says that he did not please himself. Faithfulness is more important than my happiness. My happiness more important than God, my husband, and my precious children. My happiness, I need fulfillment. It's a myth. Second, finding the right person will give me real fulfillment. Finding the right person will give me real fulfillment. Finally, I found somebody I can connect with. It's as if there was a piece of the puzzle that was missing, and now I have found the missing piece. It's not sexual. We can just talk for hours, and somehow he is tapping within me something that I never even knew existed. I need to think about this. I need to leave the marriage to get my act together, which in reality usually is step number one for the divorce that is being contemplated. It's no wonder that we meet people that we can connect with, by the way. David Carter, who has written a couple of books and spends his life counseling couples and getting them back together after infidelity, said that the average marriage is like a person is on the world, on the earth, and when you look at the moon, you always see the same side of the moon. Sometimes you see part of it, sometimes you see all of it, but always the same side. And there's a back part of the moon that we never see. In the very same way, there are many marriages that never tap into the other side of their partner. Here's a man who is very busy. He doesn't give his wife the time of day. She can't talk to him. When she's talking, he's not listening anyway. And suddenly she meets a man who just adores her and who loves to listen and enjoys her accent and takes care of so many details. Finally, I have found the man of my dreams. I have found my soulmate, she says. Of course, after she divorces and remarries, she discovers something very, very bitter. If it is true that 40% of all marriages today end in divorce, it is also true that more than 60% of second marriages end in divorce. And suddenly this wonderful connection turns ugly. You know the man who used to be here at the Moody Church 20 or 30 years ago, long time ago, who told me, "I'm leaving my wife because I'm in a desert and I found an oasis"? He wrote me a 10-page letter years later. What a letter. I still have it to this day. Detailing the fact that his oasis turned out not only to be worse than the desert, but it was actually a poisoned oasis. And many of these relationships that begin so well when you get to know the person and now suddenly you're working through, they turn ugly and spiteful. But you can't see it at the moment because that person is meeting my needs in a way that my needs have never been met before. It's a myth. There's a third myth, and that is, I can still be a caring person even though I've got this thing going on the side. Like a letter I read this week that occurred in a newspaper, I think it was, where a brother said that his brother confided in him that he was having an affair and saying, "Whatever you do, don't tell my wife because I just love my wife and children." How many lies can you talk yourself into? Received another letter some time ago from someone who said, "You know, the guy I want to marry, he's a wonderful Christian, but he continues to keep in touch with other women and always talks about how beautiful they are, and he knows that it hurts me, but he keeps doing it and tells me that he adores me alone." Oh, isn't that sweet? Listen, if he adores you, he'd be glad to say no to those other women, I would think. It's a myth, but we love these myths, these lies. Another one is, I can manage the consequences. I can manage the consequences. God will forgive me, 1 John 1:9. Like some students who say, you can, 1 John 1:9, you can 1:9 it. God will forgive you. Remember talking to a pastor many, many years ago who left his wife for another woman. And I'll never forget these words. He said to me, "Oh, sure, I'm doing wrong, I'm sinning, but remember, even David got his Bathsheba." I thought, yeah, that's true, David did get his Bathsheba. And along with it, he got grief for his family and grief for his whole kingdom. Yes, God did forgive him because God is gracious, but I'll tell you, do you know how long the consequences of a broken marriage go on? Not just on earth, but the consequences have ripples for all eternity. You can manage it. God won't let you manage it. There are certain built-in consequences that are way beyond your control in the lives of your children, in the life of your wife, in the life of your husband, whatever, and those boomerang forever. Wow. So another one is, nothing will ever change. Nothing will ever change. David Carter says that many marriages are like windshield wipers. Everybody, each of the partners plays their dance. They never are really intimate. They're never really on the same page. They argue about the same things year after year after year. The same issues come up. They're never resolved. And everybody knows what the rules of the game are. You stay on your side. You stay on your side. I push your buttons. You push my buttons. And like windshield wipers, they just keep going on and on and on and on. And he will never change. And she will never change. It's a myth. People have changed. If I have time today, When I get to the end of this message, I'm going to tell you about a couple that I had given all hope up for, and they changed. God does change people. It costs something, though. It costs a sense of honesty and humility, and it's a price most people aren't willing to pay. But because they don't pay it, they miss a tremendous blessing. That's why there are two parts to this message. Next time when I preach on the topic, I'm going to talk about the rewards people miss because they don't work through a difficult marriage. If you're in a difficult marriage today, God has rewards for you that you are going to miss if you bail out. That's why it's absolutely necessary that you be here next time to hear part number two of this very brief series of messages. Now you say, well, Pastor Lutzer, what are you going to speak on today? I'm going to speak about the common termites that destroy marriages. And we're going to be turning to the Word of God to see this. You know, whenever you hear of a tire that blew out, you say, well, you know, the tire just blew out. Well, the experts will tell us that there have been cracks in that tire for years. And then suddenly there was a blowout. When a wife leaves a marriage, when a husband leaves a marriage, there have already been a series of sins that have been committed and a series of sins that have been justified before it gets to that point. So we're going to talk about those termites today, those sins that lead to the dissolution of a marriage. You say, well, aren't there times when somebody should divorce? Well, you know, one could say that there are times when divorce is allowed. One could even say that perhaps sometimes in extreme cases it's a necessity. But there are two things that should never be done prematurely. One is embalming, and the other is to get a divorce. All right? Now, what I want you to do today is to take your Bibles and turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, where we have some words from the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 5, like everything else, there are answers in God's Word. Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. First of all, number one, we should live a life of love. Write that down. Live a life of love. That's what we should do. And you say, well, how do we do that? We should be imitators of God. Mimetes. What does that sound like, the Greek word? It is really from which we get the word mimic. We should mimic God. Godliness is to mimic God. It's to be like Him in those attributes of His that are communicable, as theologians tell us. Now, we should imitate God, and how do we do that? As beloved children, and walk in love. You say, well, how do you walk in love? Two things. First, notice it says, therefore be imitators of God. The therefore is there for a purpose. You look back and it says in the previous chapter, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. Notice, if you want to be like God, it says, therefore be imitators of God. You have to learn the lesson, first of all, of undeserved forgiveness. Undeserved forgiveness. About 2 weeks ago, Rebecca and I were in the airport in Minneapolis. We had flown to Canada to visit my parents, and we were sitting there at the gate, the terminal lounge there, and we were eating together, and a woman came, and she never sat beside us, but she kind of sat opposite us. In fact, I don't know if she was even sitting on a seat. She may have been sitting on a radiator along the window. She looked at us, and she said, I can tell the two of you have been married for a long time. I said, well, that's interesting. What makes you say that? And she said, because I can see that your wife knew exactly what you needed and the way in which the two of you are relating. And we said, yeah, you know, it's 39 years, and after 39 comes 40, and we've been around a while. And so we began to talk. And she said, you know, I'm older, and I'm getting married the first time, and I'm marrying someone for the first time. And she said, what advice do you give me for a happy marriage? You know, I'm so glad that when I married up. Because I wouldn't know exactly how to answer that. Quick as a whistle, Rebecca said, learn the art of forgiveness. And I thought, well, thank you very much, Rebecca. That's really a wonderful word of advice. And you ought to thank me for giving you the opportunity of implementing that so many times in our relationship. But you know, she was right. If you want to be like God, you have to learn the lesson of forgiveness. We talked to that woman, and we discovered that she and her husband-to-be, though they've never attended Moody Church, attended our premarital counseling here at the Moody Church, and absolutely loved it and praised it and talked about Pastor Bill Birchie, who did such a good job of leading it. And I thought, what do you know? And when she recognized my voice, she gave me a hug and she said, I just can't believe this. And when we got on the plane, she said she'd already phoned her husband-to-be to tell him about the experience. Why do we have premarital counseling here at the Moody Church? Because we as a staff know something. And what we know is that many divorces already are in process before the wedding. We can see it. Have I ever told you this story? You know, when you've been around as long as I have, you've got stories. And I'll tell you one. 20 years ago here at the Moody Church, a woman comes to me, an Asian woman. This is Wednesday, and she's to get married Saturday. And she begins to tell me about her husband-to-be, that he's cruel, and she talks about this. And I look at her with a smile, and I said, guess what? You're not marrying him. She said, what do you mean? I said, I'm ending the wedding right here. I said, it's all over. And I called the person who was going to marry. It was not a pastoral staff member. It was someone else in the community, a religious leader. And I said, you know what? This is happening. He said, on the basis of your word, I won't do it. So I told her, I said, and she said, I already have gifts and people have come. She said, in my culture, there's so much shame. I said, you know, that's okay. I said, here's what you tell them. You say, this is all Pastor Lutzer's fault. I said, just blame me. Let me take the rap for this. But you know what? You're not marrying this guy. 2 or 3 weeks later, she met me in the lobby. She came to me with outstretched arms and said, Pastor Lutzer, how will I ever thank you enough for ending that marriage? She said, I knew it was going to be bad, but I didn't have the strength to say no. And ever since that time, I've told our staff that we have the responsibility of performing weddings, and we also have the responsibility of stopping them when we can foresee that it's bad news. Well, that's not the only wedding that we've stopped here, so just be warned. Listen, the divorce is already evident, and if you're sleeping together, that's a whole other thing. Now, the sexual relationship becomes the predominant thing. All of the other issues about the personality of the person, you've stopped growing, you've stopped understanding, and that's why it is, for many other reasons, that you're headed for a lot of trouble. When will we know that God's way is best? It really is. So first of all, we have to learn to forgive. And secondly, we need to learn to love. And I'll talk about this more clearly in the next message. And so we have to skip it for lack of time, except to say, how did Christ love us? What if Jesus said, you know, I come to this earth and they reject me and my needs are unfulfilled. Gethsemane, what about my needs? The cross, what about my needs? Where do I fit into this? No, the Bible says here very clearly that we are to love as Christ loved, and marriage gives you a wonderful opportunity to die to yourself and to love someone else selflessly. And that's the lesson that you and I resist with everything that is within us. So first of all, what we need to do is to live a life of love. Secondly, we need to live a life of purity. Notice what he says, verse 3, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Now, the reason this is important and the reason that Paul puts it here is very clear. True love is entirely different than the perversion of love that comes to us from the world. The world uses the word love repeatedly, and it's the most misunderstood word you could possibly have. Because today, love is immorality. People get married today, and they don't marry a person, they marry a body. And when the body begins to deteriorate, as it does, it ends the relationship, because everything is based on sexuality. And by the way, these crazy reality shows, that you can somehow meet somebody, and just there, you can tell whether or not they are right for you and they have a connection for you. And this type of stuff is being funneled into our young people today. No wonder they don't have a clue whether they're making a good choice when they get married. And that's why we as a staff have to help them along the way. It is a very confused world. Yes, my friend, it is a very confused world. This is Pastor Lutzer. Even as I speak today, I'm actually involved in counseling sessions during the last few days with two different couples. And the reason that they need counseling is because of immorality in their marriage. What a terrible sense of betrayal, a terrible sense of hurt immorality brings. And yet at the same time, I need to tell you that I believe that both couples are going to make it. Living as we do in today's world with all of the temptations around us, it is so easy to throw aside our marriage vows. But at the same time, God gives grace, God gives strength. Even as you've been listening to this message, you may say, well, much of it applies to you. Well, that's why I preached it. But at the end of the day, we encourage people through repentance and faith and forgiveness to keep going. In a moment, you'll be told how you can receive this series of messages so that you can play them for yourself, for others, to have help along the way. God knows we all need it.
Half of all marriages fail. Erwin Lutzer tells us why.
Change some of the details, and it's a story that could be told 1,000 times. A man leaves a marriage because he finds someone else, because he is looking for a connection. And he's in a marriage that he doesn't enjoy. And wives, apparently, mothers, if you please, are leaving their marriages just as much as the men.
Till Death Do Us Part, a message series that could rescue a marriage, maybe your marriage.
I feel like a thing. I could be a post in the ground for all he bothers to communicate with me. And today I want to explode the most common myth that there is about marriage, that good marriages don't have conflict.
He has a word for those living miles apart in the same house.
Communication is absolutely necessary for love. Unless there is a sharing of who you are with someone, real communication has not occurred, and real love is impossible.
Till Death Do Us Part, teaching on how to build a lasting marriage. Facing stress with your mate? If so, this series is vital. And sending it to you on CD is our way of saying thanks when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Reach us online at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Running to Win is all about helping you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Some marriage partners see their mates like car models, trade them in when a better one comes along. The Bible tells us how to make marriages last. And next time on Running to Win, we'll hear more teaching from Ephesians chapter 5 and learn why living a life of love, purity, and honor is the only way to keep a marriage together. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.